it's been a hell of a long time since we've been here, but I'm just glad we have such a tight community. Everyone knows everyone, literally. And it's just, it's a blessing to be in this community, honestly.
That's the biggest thing, is I've always been a defensive guy my years here at Linden, and it just felt cool to help the team on the other side of the ball.
This is the SB Live Washington podcast, your twice weekly conversation about high school sports across the state of Washington and the people who play them. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live and your host. We are through with the first round of the WIAA state football playoffs. We're recording this on Sunday night, just not even 24 hours after the games have wrapped up from what is one of the wildest weekends, the busiest weekends, and the most fun weekends of the high school sports calendar. The we I'm talking about, of course, is the pride and prodigal son of Tacoma, the man of many hats, and a senior reporter with SB Live. Todd Millis joins me. Todd, how we doing? How we feeling?
Yeah, a little punch drunk, man. I mean, SB Live Washington and our massive crew, including our great, troop of freelancers and photographers, Vince Miller, who continues to just shoot high quality images. I mean, we were at 15 games in the 2 days of the first round of the state playoffs. It's a lot of fun, man. We're covering a lot of ground, a lot of great games. It's interesting. Now we're just kind of pairing the field, man. And, to go from 88 teams now to what we have here in the six classifications, yeah, that's some memorable stuff here in the week round, in the first week of the state playoffs.
Yeah, just go ahead and take that 86 teams and nearly cut it in half. That's what we're going to be doing just about every week from here on out for the next couple weeks. We got the state quarterfinals here in a couple of days. And if you're a first-time listener, welcome aboard. Todd and I have been at this for a couple of years now, and our good pal Dan Dickow over on the ISO podcast on the SB Live Sports Network is covering all his bases, talking hoops, talking small college hoops, talking big college hoops. Scorebooklive.com/Washington is your home for all of our work, those 15 games that we were at over the weekend, as well as a roundup of the top performers across the state, the all-class top 25 that we roll out every week, measuring teams across all classifications, and various stories across the week, features, podcasts, highlights, and everything. So obviously scorebooklive.com/Washington, that's maybe how you found this podcast. But if you like what we do, if you like high school sports in general, and you're really excited this time of year, the best place to follow along with our stuff is by downloading the SB Live Sports app. I say it every week, and I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here, but this is when this app is kind of firing on all cylinders. It's really clean. You know, we've got playoff brackets in there, of course, all of our work, podcasts, a ticker of our highlights and post-game interviews and everything. And if there's a great game out there, we're there. But to jump into it, Todd, we'll just talk about what you and I saw and where we were. And of all the games we were at this weekend, you and I caught about four clunkers of games. We caught some blowouts while some of our correspondents and great journalists around the state were at some of the top games. So we're just going to touch on kind of where we were, what we saw. I am fresh off of just arriving back home in the Portland, Vancouver area from Bellingham, where I was for the past 2 days, parked at Civic Stadium. I should have just pitched a tent there. I chose not to. I opted for warmer shelter, but I caught Linden Christian taking down Granite Falls 50-0 in the 1A bracket on Friday, and then Squalicum making quick work of Highline 49-14. Both of those were Friday. Toppenish over Mount Baker 26-22 was the best game I saw. That was the 8-9 at the 1A level. Toppenish had ran the table. I could talk for 2 hours about that Toppenish game, Todd. What a load of fun that was in the pouring rain. All of the storylines with Toppenish's head coach being from Mount Baker and a protege of Baker coach Ron Lepper. And then Linden took care of business against Fife of 34-0 on the Saturday night nightcap. So real quickly, just I wrote about every one of these games. This is the time of year where, you know, I feel like it's important, especially in the first round. Like, there were a lot of blowouts in the first round, and that's just the nature of this tournament. That's the nature of state playoffs. That's the nature of playoffs at any level when you're taking the top teams and pitting them up against the lowest seeded teams. And we saw a lot of that this weekend. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, the conversations never get easier, but they also, you know, are one of my favorite things about this job is just catching high school athletes in life-defining moments. And sometimes those moments come in losses. And I, you know, covered, I was at some games this weekend that were a really big deal for some communities. I look at, you know, Granite Falls, you know, in that 1A league in the Seattle area, going up and obviously getting a tough draw in Linden Christian. It was a 50-0 game. It was kind of over before it started. Linden Christian's a very good football team and is a legitimate state championship competitor at that level. But Granite Falls, just to be there, it was its first trip since 1990. I caught senior quarterback Riley Hoople after the game, and you know, catching an athlete who is processing actively, you know, part of you kind of feels like a ghoul going up and sticking a microphone in their face. But, you know, part of that is, you know, this was such a big deal for that community. And you know, despite how tough of a loss it was, there are so many players, so many teams, so many programs that might have seen the end of their season this weekend. And, you know, that just the scoreline does not measure that impact of that football team in their community. You know, at Granite Falls, I'm sure they'll have something up on the walls to, you know, memorialize this year's team and just to celebrate it going forward. So, you know, guys like Riley Hoople can come 20 years down the road back to high school and say, hey, this is, we did this. But obviously Toppenish over Mount Baker is the top game. We can go into that in a second, Todd. But you were on editor duty for a lot of the weekend, while you on Saturday got a chance to slip away and head out west to North Kitsap, taking over and taking down Shadle Park 42-0. But you got to experience the first taste of the Colton Bauer show up in person. I saw him 2 years ago in a district game, but walk me through just, you know, what you saw from North Kitsap. You know, a team that's highly seeded in the 2A field, but I think, you know, a lot of eyes around the state, you know, may not have seen, you know, this team's best yet, and you know, they're going to get some chances to prove it. So, what did you think about North Kitsap, the Vikings?
Yeah, I like them. Their front seven, Andy, was maybe the biggest surprise for me, given the fact that we've written a lot, talked a lot about them. Very active, better than I thought. Really got after Shadle Park. Not the biggest front seven I've seen. We've talked about, you know, that's kind of the thing with them. There are a lot of seniors, but not the biggest team maybe in 2A, but was really impressed with the way they disguise pressure, the way they're, you know, the time that I thought it was really well timed when they brought extra guys to try and get pressure on the backfield. The scheme was sound. Defensively, they were very, very impressive. But obviously to have Colton on the back end at free safety, he could play 30 yards back. He's got enough speed to make up so much ground. He had an interception.
He caught an interception, not threw one, right?
Yeah. He caught one at free safety. And it's interesting because as good as he's been at quarterback, and we've talked that, you know, a legitimate 2A All-State candidate, he's a top three all time, in interceptions, Andy, and Jeff Wibble has done the research on that, and he's five or six away from the all-time record. And I know that, you know, it's funny, you hear him talk about him leading this team, and there's, I think there's a part of Jeff that would think it would be pretty cool for North Kitsap to go very far and for Colton to, you know, maybe pick off a pass or two on the defensive side and get closer to that record. He did that at the end of the first half on Saturday. Offensively, you know, it's hard to judge them because as I wrote about, we didn't see the true dual threat that Colton Bauer is on a football field. You know, he was primarily a passer. They're not going to really ask him to do a whole lot running the football right now. He dinged his ankle at the end of the regular season and they're managing that. So basically what I saw was Colton the passer, which was pretty impressive. And as soon as they got a big enough lead there at the end of the third quarter, they they said, hey, son, we, you know, let's get you out of here and save you for another day. And that day will be this weekend in Paulsbo, a quarterfinal game against Steilacoom. But, yeah, I was really impressed with a sophomore that they have, Logan Sloman. And we talked about just all these seniors that are on this roster, Andy. And to see a sophomore come through here and be this impact wide receiver. He had this touchdown at the end of the first half where he catches the ball, and he's an old running back in his youth football days. And, you know, expecting him to go down, they had this long drive at the end of the first half, and he just doesn't go down. And he kind of barrels through four guys, and he keeps his balance, and he goes in for this 22 yard touchdown catch to cap this really long drive. And it's pretty obvious that Colton and Logan have this really good connection, this really good chemistry. And some of that has to do with, you know, there have been some receivers in and out of the lineup because of injuries. And then that relationship has sort of given the room to sort of grow. And he had three touchdown catches on Saturday, a career high. He's going to be a weapon for them moving forward. He's a big, I mean, he's a man child. Colton said he's one of the best athletes he's ever played with on a football field, which is high praise for someone of that caliber and who's going to play D1 baseball at Washington State University. So, probably didn't get the true, you know, North Kitsap experience on offense because of how limited Colton was, but still formidable. I have a sneaking suspicion, Andy, that this weekend against Steilacoom, a team with a really good defensive line, a team that I've covered, a good defense in general, and we're going to see more of the true Colton Bauer running some RPO stuff and getting out on the edge and making some things happen with his legs.
I remember seeing Sloman on film. He's quick too. He's got some speed to him, and you know, four receptions and three of them were touchdowns for 70 yards. That's not a bad time of year to have a career day and to kind of find your footing as a sophomore. Obviously there's a lot of attention being put on North Kitsap this year, but guys like him, are, you know, guys you can kind of, you know, build a program around and kind of keep this thing going. For him to get a taste of this, just going forward, it's just so valuable for what Coach Weibel is doing. And so, you know, that I had certainly have that game against Steilacoom circled. Steilacoom took care of business beating Ording, in the first week, first round. Beating Othello in the first round, the other O, they already took care of Ording earlier this season, if I'm not mistaken. And now, before we move on to some of the bigger storylines from the week and the bigger games, I want to touch real quickly on what a couple of the 2A teams I saw this weekend. Obviously, it's, you know, the sample size is weird because I saw, you know, Squalicum and the 4 seed and Linden the 2 seed just, you know, mop the floor with their opponents. Those were not close games. Squalicum, Highline, I will say, tremendous storyline in Highline. I got a chance to meet Deontay Cooper, a former University of Washington running back who had a kind of a lot of fans of the Huskies might remember his story. His career as a player was, you know, marred by injuries. He has kind of been one of those former Huskies that is settled and is doing, you know, building a program from the ground up. You wrote about this last week in our 2A bracket preview, but you know, Cooper, when he showed up to his first meeting as Highline's head coach there in Burien in 2019 in the spring, there were, what, 5 players there? And you wrote about that last week. And I asked him about that pregame on the field, and he pulled up a picture of it on his phone right there on the field and just said, you won't believe it, but here's proof. And it was just a really cool sort of kind of then versus now metaphor, or, you know, this visual of, you know, Cooper holding up his hand, you know, in street clothes at school with 5 players back 2 years ago. And then there he was on the field with their gold helmets and black pants, wearing those black pants for the first time, with an entire football team, a young football team, a football team that returns 17 starters next season and has some really exciting skill guys, you know, for him to be kind of gathering the team with his fist in the air in a huddle and the same motion 2 years later, they might have had their season end, but there's not a ton of moping going on in Highlands football program given what's to come. But I wanted to touch on that. That was a great story, Todd, that you wrote. Go check it out. I can link it in the show notes. But Squalica, man, Ben Schlumbacher, he's not at 100%. I asked him after the game. I said, okay, you're back to 100%. He said, no, I'm about 97. He had dealt with an ankle injury earlier this season that kept him out. I think he only missed like 1 week, but he's played a lot of the season hurt and just not at 100%. Boy, I wrote this in my lead, but if that's 97%, man, look out for 100, because it was clear that there was a Division I football player, a Washington State running back commit on that field. He wants to play running back at the next level. He's a pretty good defensive player as well. But, you know, boy, 231 yards. I think he had 6 total touchdowns, including a defensive touchdown. He was tremendous. I was equally as impressed with Bryson Lamb, their linebacker and offensive. I believe he's an offensive guard. But that Squalicum, you know, that rushing attack is dangerous. And, you know, they're the number 2 out of that league, the vaunted Northwest Conference that's been much talked about. You know, there were the 3 teams that were sitting at home that are playoff caliber: Lakewood, Cedro, Burlington. I believe all 3 of those coaches were in the stands or at Civic Stadium this weekend, just taking it in. And unfortunately, just 2 bursts out of that league. But boy, I mean, you really have to cut your teeth in that league. We've talked about it throughout the season, and Linden and Squalicum are as deserving as it gets. There's no doubt that that this league could produce a state champion or, you know, a state contender, and both of those teams, after seeing them this weekend, are right there in that picture.
Yeah, Nick Lucy thinks this is as good a defense as he's ever had, Andy. And the Lamb kid, I know, is, you know, you kind of pair him with Ben at linebacker. Everybody talks, we talked a lot about that offensive backfield, and rightfully so. I mean, nobody in 2A has a backfield like that. Nobody. With the speed and the big play capability. But then you pair those 2 linebackers that can get to pretty much anything in the second level on defense too. It's an interesting team moving forward. They're on Tumwater's side of the bracket. There's a potential matchup there looming here down the line. We talked about this. It's unfortunately only 2 bursts out of that district, but you know the 2 survivors should do very well in this bracket, because the teams that aren't here probably could have won state playoff games over the weekend as well.
No question. And real quick before we move on, Toppenish's win over Mount Baker, I wrote about 1,000 words about it with video highlights and interviews, and what a scene for Toppenish. I mean, they thought that running the table, going 10-0 in the regular season, was going to be good enough for the seeding committee to give them a top 8 seed in a home game, brand new turf. That community is a lot of excitement around that football program, led by Jason Smith, since they classed down from 2A to 1A a couple years ago. And they just missed that hosting line. They get the 9 seed. Smith has to go back across the state to his native Bellingham. He is a Mount Baker grad. His mom was a decades-long teacher at Mount Baker. His brother played for Ron Lepper. And Ron Lepper, when he was first hired as Mount Baker's head coach, full-time, going from assistant to head coach, Smith got one of his first coaching jobs with Lett for a year, helped him install the wing tee, and you know, here 20 some years later, he had to defend it. And I'll tell you what, Todd, Toppenish did a really good job defending that wing tee. They've seen a few of them this year. They've seen some kind of similar sets, a lot of those kind of rush heavy teams. You know, the Connells. I think when, you know, by the time they saw Zilla, that was kind of what they were going back to. And they looked really good containing Davin Beeson, who is a Division I caliber player. He started the season at center, and he is, you know, there. Him moving over to quarterback unlocked a lot for that offense, and he almost led a final charge there in the second half. Toppenish gets up 20-0. Beeson sneaks in for 5 yards as time expires at the half. They get the 2-point conversion, so it's 20-8 at half. And Mount Baker just came out firing in the second. Beeson was throwing the ball downfield. A lot of credit goes to what, you know, Toppenish. It's pouring down rain, Todd. And these guys, when they're at their best, they're throwing the ball all over the place. And they were dipping, you know, they're dipping balls in water all week in practice for Josh Perez, for Shane Rivera, those receivers out wide, for Jason Grant. And they fared really well. I mean, you know, it didn't look like I was up in the press box. And, you know, there were times where I forgot how wet it was outside. I mean, it was just a downpour. And you know, Perez still goes for 290 yards in the air. You know, Grant has, I think, 131 receiving, including a 77-yard touchdown. And Mount Baker has a chance to win it at the end, and they fell short. Fourth and 22, fourth and goal from the 22, got backed up a little bit. And Perez, after fumbling the ball to set Mount Baker up for the chance to win, gets the game-sealing pick. So lots of Toppenish folks out in the stands there. I know that was a huge deal for the community, a big deal for head coach Jason Smith. His parents flew up from Arizona to catch the game. So lots of fun there in that 8-9. The seating committee, say what you want about them getting the home and away matchups wrong, but they sure put two good football teams together in this first round.
Did you happen to see a Davin Beeson, Jason Grant collision at all in that game? I mean, two of the most impressive athletes anywhere, but in 1A, and they're happening to play in the same game.
I didn't just see it, Todd. I felt it. I felt the tremors from that thing. Beeson, I interviewed him on the field in the spring in that FSP Air, like, you know, club scrimmage deal, showcase, hype showcase deal. And from then to even now, like, Beeson's a huge kid. Like, he's physically a massive kid at linebacker, and he can really move. Just a really impressive athlete, and, you know, wraps up a tremendous career there at Mount Baker.
My guy Jason Grant and company, they're moving on, man. They're moving on to face the big boys.
Yeah, so they draw Royal. They won't have to drive as far, but, man, that's a tall task in a Royal team that has not seen a challenge all year. Getting a team from the opposite division in the SEAC there in Toppenish. So we're going to talk. Let's kind of move on to the biggest surprises, the best storylines from the weekend across all games. I've got 4 games here circled. Of course, if we don't touch on something that you're interested in, I'm sure we've covered it on the site. So just head to scorebooklive.com/Washington or the SB Live Sports app, and you can get in-depth coverage there. But 4 storylines that kind of rise to the top is, at the 1A level, Takari Hinkle, and the Tenino Beavers on the black turf rush for over 800 yards. Takari has more than, I think he had 406 yards and 5 touchdowns. Gavin Watson had 274 yards. And Tenino withstands just an epic performance on the road from the Freeman Scotties. Bowen Phelps, 8 total touchdowns. You know, if you can't stop a player like Takari Hinkle, I certainly can't blame you. But they tried to fight fire with fire. They almost got him. Tenino puts up 80 points in that first round game. When you saw that, neither of us were there, but when you saw that score come across the ticker, what's going through your head?
Well, I mean, every time I saw it come across the ticker, it kept changing. Like, it wasn't any really long sustained drive. These were big plays. I mean, yeah. I mean, welcome back to the state playoffs, to 9-0 Beavers. Let's put up 80. Let's just put up 80 points in our first state game in what, a couple decades? I mean, my goodness. And that guy, I mean, do you want to tackle that guy?
No, I don't. I'll go on record. I'll admit to it.
My guy Jason Grant's pretty big. Boy, Takari Hinkle looks pretty darn big too, doesn't he? For a running back. And the thing was, I think he got dinged up, or he was limping around. And gosh, you're thinking, okay, we got our opening if you're Freeman. And then, you know, a couple of plays later in the next series, he's back in the huddle, and you're like, ah, dang it. we got to still tackle them, you know? I mean, congratulations, actually, for both teams, man. I mean, you know, Freeman had enough offense to win that game. It's just nobody could stop the other team. So, yes, every time something came across that score Friday night, Andy, it was changing, and somebody was in the end zone, and it felt like it was a 50-plus yard touchdown or a big play to set up a touchdown. What a wild game on the black turf.
No kidding. And that 1A Northeast League, I mean, Freeman was the number three out of that league and you know, went wire to wire with both Riverside and Lakeside, the 1 and 2. And that just speaks to me to the strength of that league year in and year out, when you might not have, Colville, you know, running the state and competing every year. But, you know, these new programs in that league just, you know, start to step up, and it's like they don't have an off year. So, two of them from the 1A Northeast League onto the state quarterfinals. That Tenino Linden Christian game on Saturday at Civic Stadium is going to be a good one. That's going to be appointment viewing. You want to go up to Civic Stadium? You want to be the Bellingham guy this week?
Well, they got more games up there on and one of the better stadiums on the west side. So, I mean, I guess I can make a trip of it too. So, do not be surprised if SB Live Washington is back up there for at least a game here in the quarterfinals with the teams that we mentioned playing and hosting. I mean, and by the way, you mentioned Linden Christian. Do they ever lose in the first round, Andy?
No.
I mean, you got to see why. I mean, this is their time of year. I mean, if there's not a Linden somewhere in the state semifinals or the championship game, then, you know, it's kind of an off year. So, but yeah, three more games up there this weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I was only there for like 48 hours and I didn't get to see any of Bellingham. It was dumping rain. You know, we're working the whole time, but you know, so many good people up in Whatcom County. Shared a press box with Linden basketball coach Brian Roper yesterday. I hadn't met Brian in person. I certainly bugged him a lot over the phone over the last few years. And yeah, nothing but good things to say about that part of the state, a part of the state that I, you know, admittedly just have not spent enough time up there. So did climb Mount Shucks and do some snowshoeing in Mount Shucks in a couple summers ago, though. So shout out Mount Baker, Coach Ron Lepper, if you're listening, there's a Shucks in reference for you. So let's move up to two 3A scores that really intrigued me. First at Lamson Stadium, Jeff Morrow was there for SB Live. Kennewick withstands just a heck of a performance on the road from a talented Spanaway Lake team. Kennewick, the 3A champ there in the MCC, 26-21, down late. Todd, set the stage for me. Walk me through this this final progression in that game.
I want Miles Miosky. I want him to be a broadcaster someday. I mean, you got to interview him for the podcast. He's such a character. Can you imagine him coming into the huddle with the season on the line? You know, backup quarterback, probably a little nervous. You know, Spanaway Lake is, you know, been leading much of the fourth quarter and had the lead late, and Miles Miosky goes, "Hey, do you remember that play we ran up at some city park in 7-on-7 2 years ago? Can you, what an icebreaker, by the way." And quarterback's got to think, "Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it's going to be a wheel route. Let's just do it right here." And lo and behold, I mean, it's one thing to talk about it in the huddle and, you know, icebreaker and there, you know, and it's another thing to just do it. And hey, by the way, don't look at me, but then look at me and then throw it to me and then I'll make it happen. And it just, you know, it was almost like sandlot football to go win a football game against a really good Spanaway Lake team. It sucks that the Spanaway Lake Sentinels and hey, Josiah Wagner, we talked about him last week, resurfacing in a big way this past weekend. It you know, obviously with Josh Colley getting hurt, really probably hurt that offense a little bit, but they weren't in a position to win that game. And Miles Miosky and Kennewick, and you know, let's just take a play that we ran in 7-on-7. Let's go win the football game. And that's exactly what they did. How cool a moment would that have been?
Very cool. Yeah, no, that's one of those I wish I would have seen in person. You know, I was following along vicariously through the Jeff Morrows and the Matt Evans of the world And yeah, you're right. Not far from Lampson Stadium at that practice field in Kennewick, I sat down with Miles after practice. Not even 2 months ago on this very podcast. So spin that back in the feed and learn more about Miles. Learn more about his tattoos. Learn more about his grandpa's the most insane mustache I've ever seen in my life. And you'll just get a lot of personality. I think broadcasting might be in his future. Just a very calming presence. Obviously, the moment is never too big for him. That's a game that we're going to take a look ahead in a second, but boy, talk about a 3A state semifinal rematch from 2019, Kennewick and O'Day. You know, Kennewick knows they belong on that stage now, and they ain't backing down from any Fighting Irish.
Yeah, Miles Mayofsky and Jason Brown. How about those two going out? How about Miles? Miles will probably go over to the O'Day sideline and introduce himself to Jason and shake Monty's hand and say, hey, great game. Let's go do it. What a great matchup. But another site that's going to hold a doubleheader this weekend, Andy. Same two teams with Eastside and O'Day on Saturday. But that one is certainly a game to worth watching, regardless of classification with those two running backs going at it.
Is there a 7 p.m. game at Memorial, or is that just a 1 and 4?
I think they're doing actually odd times, if I'm not mistaken.
I see Mount Spokane and Eastside are set for 1 p.m. and then Kennewick and O'Day at 4 p.m.
Yeah, you're right. It is a 1 and 4 on Saturday. Mount Spokane, the early game with Eastside Catholic, and then Kennewick at O'Day at 4 o'clock in downtown Seattle.
There we go. In the shadow of the Seattle Center, the shadow of the Climate Pledge Arena, the shadow of the Space Needle, it's where the action's happening. So Mount Spokane, a great win on the road, going up to Arlington and taking down that team led by senior quarterback Trent Novak. That Greg Daler-led squad took down Marysville Pilchuck, a team that's a genuine 3A state title contender. And impressive win for Mount Spokane to hit the road and pull that one off. I know it kind of went back and forth a little bit, but Mount Spokane pulls away for a 38-24 win. I honestly haven't talked to either set. Have you talked to anyone from that game or kind of know the story of it?
Yeah, I know Mount Spokane was just kind of had a beat on that defense. You know, they ran some power and then the Flanagan kid made some big plays. But you know, it's interesting because we talked about the best kicker in the state and on Friday nights, SB Live has a lot of properties around the country and. The states that I have to monitor besides Washington are Idaho and Montana. And Idaho had two really good state semifinals in their largest classification, 5A. And they have a kicker named Ian Hershey playing at Highland in Pocatello. And last week he kicks a game winner. And then this week he kicks a last play game winner, a 40-yarder to lift Highland to the state championship game. They have their state championships here in the upcoming week. And it just kind of reminds me, Andy, about how we talk about offense and defense, but how teams can really neutralize things in their special teams. And Mount Spokane's one of those teams. I mean, Ethan kicked another field goal in this game, but how would you like it to be Arlington, Andy? And you're fighting like mad to get in the game, and you cut to 7. You're like, okay, we got a puncher's chance here. Let's get the onside kick. And then Ethan Carroll takes the onside kick, kind of like what the Seahawks did a couple weeks ago in the NFL, and just goes the other way, almost 60 yards for another touchdown. How deflating that would be for Arlington, that getting up and let's go get that football and. Mount Spokane just seems to make those kind of plays in its special teams. I mean, that's, we talked about it when we did our prediction podcast, Andy. This was a game that I was really nervous about for Arlington, just because Mount Spokane's been there, thought the GSL was a little underrated. They were, they're the only double-digit seed in either 4A or 3A to win the first round. But I don't think this is really all that much of an upset, to be honest with you, Andy, given what Terry Clore has accomplished there and given the fact that they've made a habit of winning first round games when they're in the state playoffs, and that they've come over and they've played some tough teams over the years and non-league. So I didn't necessarily look at this as an upset, but it sounds like the Mount Spokane Wildcats had a very complete effort going to Arlington, running the football, and then getting enough big plays with Flanagan to go back to Spokane with a 2-touchdown victory.
Those guys will be hitting the road again, as we said, Memorial Stadium on Saturday. Here's a game that you and I both just took an old Charlie Brown, multiple step approach to that football, and just a big swing and a miss on our prediction. The Blue Train, Todd. Let's talk. Let's have the Logan Lacio conversation. Let's talk about 35 unanswered to on the road defeat Glacier Peak 49-35 on Friday night. That being said, Logan Lacio, this offense, I mean, the biggest question with Bothell this season and as the season developed was, you know, were they going to find their identity on offense? Were they going to find their footing? And Lacio, a transfer from Hawaii, a first-year starter, stepping into big shoes with a multi-year starter and Andrew Sermon. He had his season-defining moment, 21 of 32, 329 yards, 5 touchdowns in the second half, Todd, as a part of this comeback. The Kinko survives and advances.
Yeah, Glacier Peak did enough to win the football. I mean, did you just see the game that Trey Lechner had?
Yeah.
Oh, 200 yards. When they went power and just said, Trey, you know, we're going to give the football to you. There was not much Bothell could do in the first half in building a 35-14 lead. They made some adjustments defensively. It always helps when you force a couple turnovers, and Glacier Peak made a mistake in the special teams to – you know, downing a snap and giving Bothell the short field. But make no mistake, Andy, this is, I mean, the way Tom Boehner, how fired he was after the game, this is one of Tom Boehner's best wins. Given, the, you know, all the things that we talked about, I talked to him about the offense and Logan Lacio, and he just hadn't played very well in bad weather, and it had been sort of up, down. And then all of a sudden you find out that Bryce Coy's not playing. I know he got dinged up last week against Bellarmine Prep. He's not playing, so it's just like, oh, were they really going to get the offense now? And then they get down by 3 touchdowns, and you're like, Blue Train has, you know, a lot to look forward to, and you know, in the upcoming, you know, next season. And lo and behold, Blue Train. Woo, woo.
Did you read that quote in Matt Massey's story on the site? Tom Boehner, just from the top rope after this game, just in his bag. Listen to this quote. He says, "We've played a lot of great games, but I'm really proud of this one. Let me tell you why. COVID-19. Lowering the bar for kids has made it difficult to demand things from them." And then Massey goes on to write that Boehner noticed 3 of his players crying in the locker room when they were down 2 touchdowns at halftime. Quote, "This is the product of not having a bar raised. We will raise your bar every time, and they will respond to it. They responded to the raised bar. They came back. They fought every play. I told them the only thing that will make you regret this game is if you play like a coward. And we did not play like a coward, and I'm proud of our kids." Drop that mic, Tom Boehner. You're on to the state quarterfinals. I mean, what a game for that Bothell team.
Well, and Logan Lacio was quoted extensively in the story too, Andy, and just being a newcomer to this program and not wanting to be a letdown to, you know, Luke Avinchik and some of these guys that have grown up in this program, and just, you know, it must be, you know, it's one thing to transfer from Hawaii and, you know, play for my alma mater, FOSS, and, you know, you're just, you know, you're playing a season of football. It's a completely different thing to transfer.
Foss catching absolute strays at 40 minutes into this podcast, man. Come on, go easy on your alma mater.
Well, we barely have football right now at Foss, but imagine it transferring over to Bothell, where the bar is set so high, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a need at quarterback and you're the guy and you know, you're playing well early on. And then you've kind of hit some speed bumps but all while you're trying to absorb and understand this culture and this tradition and Tom Boehner and the way he just sort of feels his way around this offense and making adjustments and what that's a lot. I'm sure that's a lot on Logan Lacio's plate. And to hear him talk about that, and coming up with a big win for this program, as basically a transplant. He didn't want to let these guys down in this tradition down, and he didn't. He had probably his best game, honestly, Andy, being over 300 yards, all those touchdown passes, getting the football to some really good receivers on the outside, and for them to advance past Glacier Peak. Now, we all know what's waiting them. They have to go to GK this weekend, and that's going to be a tough uphill climb. But for 1 week, it was nice to see Blue Train find some footing and get to enjoy a big moment in the state playoffs for a team that's won a state championship and it had so many cool moments in the state playoffs to just add another chapter. That was pretty cool.
No question. We'll take a quick look ahead. Four games that I have circled this upcoming week. Lake Stevens Gonzaga Prep is at the top, the game of the week. Todd, through hell and high water, you better be there. You've been following this matchup for how long? I mean, since the brackets dropped, you said this is the game of the tournament.
Yeah, the league champions from two leagues that maybe don't get the credit that other leagues do. I mean, Ryan McKenna returns a kickoff for a touchdown in the first round of the state playoffs. Are you kidding me? And now they bring that triple option to Lake Stevens with all those athletes and Jaden Lamar, another big game. Trace Hanks, another big game. And oh, by the way, Grayson Yearn has another week to heal up and return a quarterback and be at full strength. This is a state semifinal game, Andy. I think we can both agree on it. These teams should be playing in the state semifinals or in the championship, but they're playing in the four quarterfinals this week. You're right. This is the state game of the week. I wouldn't miss it for anything.
Another one I've got circled, Camas at Kamiakin. Kamiakin coming off a big win, offensive explosion against North Creek in the first round. They got to turn around and face the most battle-tested defense they've seen all year. In the Papermakers that keep on delivering defensively. I mean, it sounded like a really ugly game at Doc Harris Stadium from, you know, all the penalties. But, you know, they grinded out a 17-7 win. There sounded like some weird kind of miscommunications going on at the end of that game with the Camas fans booing and heckling the Puyallup coaching staff as it was heading into the locker room because they didn't shake hands. Apparently in the 4A SPSL, nobody's been shaking hands this year. So lost in communication, put some respect on Camas's name, this week, every week of this season. And they've got a tall task, but you know, I'm really intrigued by this matchup defensively. This is going to, you know, there's going to kind of a lot's going to rest on the shoulders of that Camas offense too. To see if it can, you know, really put some points up in the board.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb, Andy, and go, this is probably not going to be a 17-7 game like it's been for Camas the three of the last 4 weeks.
You think anyone's holding Henry Mercado to 7 points?
Maybe somebody in the NFL. But not, I mean, as good as Camas's defense is, this is a completely different animal, I think. But Camas is going to have to find ways to get in the 20s or maybe even in the 30s going over to the Tri-Cities and playing arguably maybe the second best team in the state. I mean, there's a few teams that we could talk about, but, you know, Kamiakin beating North Creek and Kennedy McGill, taking care of business. There just seems to be no dent in this team, man. But Camas is a defense that can do some things. I'm not gonna, you know, undersell this team, Andy, and they've played some really good teams on the road, so I don't think going over to the Tri-Cities is gonna maybe affect them like other teams.
Another one up at Civic Stadium, between two teams that I saw play this weekend. Richfield coming off a 13-point win over Ording. A big night from Ty Snyder. Big night from sophomore quarterback Logan DeBeaumont and running back Isaiah Crowley. They got to take on Squalicum, who we just talked about earlier in this show. I'm fascinated to see what the Sputters do in their, you know, biggest game in decades in that with that program coming in on the road, taking on a Squalicum team that is as healthy as it's been all year and operating as cleanly and as well as it has all year. That's a big time game for Scott Rice and the Sputters, but don't count those Sputters out.
Matchup of the week that night, and you get to see him catch a touchdown pass over the weekend. Kai Posey, probably an even better cornerback Andy, and he's tall. He's rangy. He's 6'1", 6'2". That's going to be a fantastic matchup. Kai Posey, Ty Snider. I hope he kind of shadows him. I'm sure those two are going to go at it at some point in a much anticipated game. Probably the best game I would think in 2A. Wouldn't you agree, Andy?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean the 5-4. Yeah. No question. No question. I didn't have to see Ty Snider do a whole lot at corner over the weekend, but he did have a nice touchdown reception from Leighton Smithson there in the first half. So, Kai Posey. But you know what I mean. And Ty Snider had a heck of a game too. You know, another tremendous game receiving. I think he housed a kick return for touchdown. So, he's a heck of an athlete. He's another guy. You know, you just talk to him. He's got just a very laid back personality. He reminds me of Miles Mayowski in that way. He's just very calming. And, this is a very big deal. He started his high school career at 1A Kings Way. Shout out former head coach Brian Rodriguez over down there at Kings Way, who's now on Scott Rice's staff. 2 years later, he's in the state quarterfinals. Book it. The last game I have circled, we already talked about, Tenino at Linden Christian in Bellingham. Just three of four of those 1A games, I think, are just going to be really, really good games with respect to the challenge that Toppenish faces going and playing Royal. But that's our quick look ahead at the week. If you want in-depth breakdowns of each game across the state, across each classification, scorebooklive.com/Washington and the SB Live Sports app, those will be publishing starting early in the week through midweek and leading you all the way to the WI State quarterfinals. For SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, I'm Andy Bueller. He's the man with many hats. We'll catch you later. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week. Take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert, Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today.